Welcome to Inside the Newsroom, the Sentinel Records weekly podcast from the Razorback Campers Health Studio that takes a closer look at news and sports in Garland County. It's a new year, and looking back over 2022, there were plenty of stories that kept readers interested. Each year, newspapers across the country do year-end review stories, and the Sentinel Record is no different. Editor Mark Gregory and Managing Editor Stephen Ross are with us today to talk about why we do these stories, what some of the biggest stories were in 2022, and what 2023 might hold. So, to start out with, you know, how long have you both been in the newspaper business?
Too long. Yeah. Now, actually, 2023 is a special year in my journalism career because I started at the Sentinel Record on January 1st, 1983. So it marks the beginning of my 40th year in journalism. And it's just a strange coincidence that my start date at the newspaper is January 1. So, you know, these issues looking back at the past year kind of a special thing to me because they had just completed a very newsy year that year. For one thing, the Washita Memorial Hospital had sold just weeks prior to that, and we had major flooding on Lake Washita. In fact, it was the first time, I believe, that the lake ever reached the spillway area on Lake Washita. So they were just coming off of a very newsy year when I started here. And Steve, you've been here how long now?
I guess my official start date was in August of 88, so 34 years.
Wow.
Roughly.
So like you're talking around 72 years of experience just between the two of us.
Right. Wow. So what exactly are the year-end stories? I know that every newspaper does a year-end in review, but what exactly are they?
Well, they serve a couple of purposes. First of all, let me say, in regards to other papers, papers do them differently. Some newspapers publish their year-end issues on January 1, looking back at the previous year. We choose not to do that. We follow what other newspapers do and publish it on the final day of the year. Our philosophy is that January 1 is the day to look ahead to the coming year. And so if you look in today's edition, you're going to see a New Year's resolution story, talking with civic and city and community people looking forward to the coming year. But we like to close out the year with a look back. And what it is it serves a couple of purposes. It refreshes people's memories about the stories that had a broad community impact. And I really want to emphasize that when people ask us what goes into that thought process. You know, we have a lot of stories that flare up quickly and then kind of go away quickly. But we like to look at stories that have a lasting year-long community impact. And if you saw yesterday's edition, I think that's really evident. We had a story about a mass shooting, which fortunately for Hot Springs is an unusual occurrence. Right. We had a story about a kidnapping, which Steve and I were talking earlier today. Cannot remember the last time we had
a legitimate kidnapping
that didn't involve a domestic dispute, not that
or custody issue. Usually that's what it involves. It's like the person that kidnapped the child, well, they're the parent, but they're not the custodial parent.
Right.
So it's still technically a kidnapping, but in your mind you're thinking, well, the kid's probably going to be okay.
Right.
You know.
But as far as just randomly picked.
Right. A stranger snatched off the sidewalk. Right. That was the first. So,
which galvanized his community.
Right.
I mean, it really struck fear, as it should, into people. You know, could this happen to me? How did that circumstance occur? So, again, a story that has, you know, intimate community impact. Of course, Majestic Park, which by all accounts, has been a very successful proposition for the city. You know, there was a lot of discussion running up to the election on that issue about whether it was needed, if it could draw the crowds that it did. And in fact, they delivered, and they mm-hmm. delivered quite successfully. And one of the other stories that you also would have seen is on the recent election. Probably one of the most contentious mayoral elections I've been involved in my 40 years here. And certainly that will have a lasting community impact for quite some time. So going back to your original question, so why do we do that? One is just a reminder to our readers about what we've done in the past year, what stories we think have a lasting community impact. But also there's that aspect of, you know, we're part of the historic record in Garland County.
Right.
People, when you go to the Historical Society and look up something that happened in the past, you look for newspaper articles. Mm-hmm. That's just par for the course. And so we take that very seriously. We strive for accuracy in every bit of reporting that we do, not only from a fact perspective, but also from a historic perspective. And I just think it's something people like sitting down with at the end of the year and kind of thinking back to things that maybe they hadn't thought of for a while and put a few months behind them, and they can kind of see what the impact is on their personal life and on their family members' lives. And we have a little added wrinkle this year. Normally it's just Steve and myself and the staff sitting down and going back, but this year we use some of our digital tracking that we do now mm-hmm. as a benefit of being having a digital edition. We're able to tell what stories, and through social media, what stories resonated most with our readers and which ones had the most impact on them. And so that was explained in the story that was in yesterday, and as we go forward with that information, you know, builds an audience, and we wanted that to be reflected in what we thought were the top choices for the year.
Yeah. I know a lot of newspapers will go through and they'll pick, you know, one or two big stories from each week, as opposed to what we do and choose the big stories that, like you said, make the big impact on the community. Why do we do it that way instead of the...
We used to. I was going to say, like, there was and I don't know how many years ago it's been, but we would pick from each month. We'd have mm-hmm. like top stories from January, February, March. But I think we've just kind of streamlined it over the years and made it more about the biggest ones.
I think it, and Steve's correct, we used to actually run a chronology, and that's
right,
what we called
it. That's a good word, yeah.
And there's a couple of reasons for that, but I think the main reason is that our readers have changed the way they like to consume news. They stay on it better, and they're able to go back historically easier through the electronic archive that we offer. Mm-hmm. And we really, a couple of years ago, decided what's the purpose behind doing that when the reader can go back and flip through, and they certainly don't need us pointing out to them what they thought was impactful. So we stick to the ones that we think are worthy of singling out and that had a broader impact on the community. And the finer points of month to month, our readers have the ability to do that. Now, when we ran the chronology originally, our readers didn't have that access to the electronic archive that they have now.
Right.
And so they probably needed like a guidepost. But it sort of got repetitive month to month. You know, what do I edit out? What do I keep?
And I think sometimes you would have stories that would, because that particular month, that might have been a slow month, mm-hmm. and you were picking top stories that weren't really top stories, you know.
That's exactly right. I mean, some stories are just, they're good enough to be in that particular month, but not really what you would consider of having the impact worthy of a year-end roundup.
Right.
Thank you.
Inside the Newsroom is sponsored by Reiser Ford and Lincoln. On the hunt for a new truck or car, stop by 4201 Central Avenue in Hot Springs today or call 501-525-0800 today for all your truck and car needs.
Is the fact that we're all digital now, does that make the make it easier to do some of these, you know, to do this year-end review, kind of look back and, like you mentioned earlier, being able to see what people have kind of focused their time and energy on reading, does that make it easier for you to look back and try to figure out what you want to include in this?
Well, it makes it easier and harder at the same time. It used to be that I would literally set aside paper copies of issues that I thought had what I thought people would be interested in. Not really from a year-end perspective, but from our contest perspective. Right. We used to have hard copies of the paper to submit for contest, and so it was a natural outgrowth of that we kept those stacked up. And, you know, there's something kind of romantic about being able to go back through old issues and stain your fingers with ink and kind of remind yourself. But I think that the electronic format allows us to be much more accurate and to deliver more information to our readers than we ever could the other way. I think that certainly as I've, you know, as we've added more digital products and we've made that more a part of our workflow, there were some things that you would simply miss if you relied only on a printed copy of our paper. You know, Steve and I have talked about this before. Sometimes a story will evolve 2 to 3 times before it's ever put into print. It's been on social media. It's been on our electronic edition. It's been on the website. And that just speaks to the evolution of our process of gathering the news and disseminating that out to the public.
Yeah. Steve, what, you know, like you said, you've been here 34, 35 years. What would you say is probably one of the most memorable stories that you've, you know, either covered or that you recall from your time here?
Oh, there have been several. The Piercy killings, that was, you know, that whole trial lasted forever, and that whole deal was pretty horrific. And that's right. Still maybe one of the worst we've ever had. In our, because, you know, you had five, six people killed, mm-hmm. all at one time, and they were, like, you know, executed, and the house was set on fire within a minute. And, you know, we haven't had anything quite like that, you know, before or since that I was aware of. So that was one of the big ones.
Right.
And there have been, you know, a lot of other trials and stuff like that.
Yeah. And what about you, Mark? I know you had mentioned some of the things from the year before you had started when you were looking at some of that year-end stuff.
Right.
What has been some of the things that you remember most?
There have been so many. I mean, without a doubt, the death of President Clinton's mother stands out more than anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, to have the attention of the entire world, not just the country, focused on us for even just a few days, it's almost surreal thinking back to that. You know, being part of the White House press corps, following a sitting president around the city as he grieved his mother. It was unbelievable, really, that you could be there to report and witness something like that that's a piece of living history. So, without a doubt, that one. I hate to focus on tragedy, but when the duck boat sank years ago, leading to a tragic loss of life, that's just horrible to even think back on, but, you know, certainly that was one of the stories that really...
Because it was, what, 13 people?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then, you know, we've had other, I mean, the disasters certainly stand out. We had the flooding downtown. Right. We had the ice storm in 2000. So stories like that, to me, are just ones you expect to cover.
Right.
but it's the unusual ones that you don't expect to come up.
The big fires we've had, like the Ohio Club.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and the Majestic.
Oh, yeah, huge.
And, you know, the impact that still has even today on our community just shows you how quickly things can change and the impact that it can have for years and years after that.
Shift gears a little bit, you know, let's look ahead to 2023. And you know, is there anything that you're kind of looking forward to or hope that you might get to see in this new year? I know we've got a lot of, you know, changes politically. There's a lot of other things going on. But is there anything in particular that y'all are looking forward to or?
Well, I think there's a lot of anticipation is probably the best way I know to say it. We're waiting to see how this new city board and new quorum court handles some of the big issues that are left over from the year. Certainly the water issue continues to be a concern. We've raised rates now to raise additional revenue to finish the project. You know, the question now becomes, is that going to be enough? Is it going to get done without raising rates an additional amount? Certainly Majestic Park, we're going to keep an eye on that and see if it continues to draw the crowds that it did in its opening year. And certainly, you know, there are still some high-profile court cases that Steve will be following that will...
Yeah, there's several trials that will probably be coming up this year. Can't get into specifics, really, but, that you know, that can kind of get pushed off some of it for COVID and stuff that I think we're going to have several this coming year that they're going to have to do, you know.
Well, and there's also changes at the state level. You know, we just had a story in the paper about the governor-elect making changes at the Department of Education. It's a very important part of our community coverage, so we're going to be following that to see what impact, if any, that has on the local level.
Yeah.
Probably what happens with the Majestic, the old Majestic, what they end up doing like that, if anything happens with that.
Probably the biggest question mark in the community right now
is
what's going to happen with that property. Are they going to be successful going through the Metro Partnership to market and develop that property? So we'll see.
Yeah. That's probably one of the questions I get asked the most. They just assume we know that, you know, what's going to happen, and I'm like, I have no idea.
All right. Well, I appreciate y'all taking time to talk to me.
Thank you, James.
This has been an episode of Inside the Newsroom from the Razorback Camper Sales Studio. New episodes are released every Sunday. Thank you for listening.